last week I expressed that the word praise is used in five different forms. Praise, the most used one, but then some of the verses say praised, others say praises, some say praiseth, and then praising. 315 times, one form or the other, of the word praise is used in the scriptures. I want you to look at Psalm 106. The Psalms we're going to look at all start with praise ye the Lord. And I want you to notice in just the first couple verses what is said regarding praising God. Now, you'd have to read the whole psalm to get all of the approaches to why he begins as he does. Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. And here the emphasis, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You remember last week I pointed out that I found myself praising God. Praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I praise you for the beauty of this day. I praise you for the rain that waters the plants. I praise you for where I live. I praise you for my neighbors. Many things you praise God for. And then I would find myself slipping into thanking God. I'm there sitting there, I'm there praise this, praise that, and then I'd end up, thank you, thank you. And I thought, no, wait a minute, I was saying praise, I'm saying thank you. And then I learned that the two of them are very often interchanged and connected, because when you praise God, it makes you think of the things that he has provided, and you are thankful for him. Look at it in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. What's next? Tell me out loud.
Oh,
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. So the connection of thanks and praise is in the Bible.
Amen.
Now, I went to Google and asked the question, okay, are praise and thanks connected? Why do I experience praising and then thanking? And found out there's a lot of men who have studied it and pointed it out. Okay? And then these are some of the scriptures that they suggested that I'm sharing today. Well, no, the ones I'm sharing today, I just went through Psalms and found them. Okay? I didn't need Google. I did it. Okay? Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, now I got to pause here. Look at verse 15. And if you're familiar with the background to this, he gave them their request. They were in the wilderness, you know, and they got tired of the manna, so they wanted some meat, and he sent a bunch of quails, and they got sick of meat, okay? And he said there, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. I heard an evangelist who's now in heaven give a tremendous message on this. They got what they wanted, but lost what they had. You think about that. Be careful what you pray for.
That's right.
Because you just might get it, but then you could end up losing what you have.
That's right.
And this was his text for that. All right, now go to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Last one was give thanks. Now this one says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. So the emphasis of 111:1 is praising the Lord, but with the whole heart. Not haphazardly. Not just routinely. There must be the heart's meaning behind the words praise the Lord. Just the fact that I say, praise you for the beauty of today's sunshine. If my heart isn't behind it as acknowledging the creation of God and his control of the universe, they're just empty words. Okay? And so, praise you the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And then notice where the praise is done. In the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation. It's right to praise God in church.
Amen.
You don't have to be a Pentecostal to praise God in church. Well, we don't do it that way. Well, they did in the Bible. You want to be a Bible-believing and Bible-practicing Christian. Now, believe me, if it gets out of control, pastor will take care of it. Because there's the real fire of God, and there's also wildfire. And wildfire destroys. Anybody that knows about forestry, you know that they need to do a controlled burn. And if it gets out of control, believe me, we'll put a damper on it.
Uh-huh.
Now, it may not be from, might be from the pulpit, but it's very likely, according to how many and who does it, they'll be talked to privately. You say, well, that seems like a little bit of, yeah, it is. It's the responsibility that a shepherd's given to keep the sheep in order. Okay? Just because you're a shepherd and have sheep doesn't mean they run all over the place. I'm off my subject, all right? So, in church, okay, is a place to praise God. Then, Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. So now, along with praise, there is this matter of fearing the Lord. And fear sometimes just plain old means be scared of God.
That's right.
Because of the power of God. Now there's places where the word fear carries the emphasis of reverencing his name. Okay? And so you have to read the context and let the Spirit of God guide you. But here he says, the man that feareth the Lord and greatly delighteth, or that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And so that's what we need, to be goal-oriented, to keep the commandments of God. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So here, praising the Lord is connected with being a servant of the Lord. Now, that's not limited to people who are elected in an annual business meeting.
Right.
All of us can be and ought to be servants of the Lord.
That's right.
And so, but here you see, it's praising connected with being a servant of the Lord. Now, you need to read the rest of it. And as you read through it, okay, verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. All right, from this point, I now understand I should praise God, and as a servant, I should give praise to God. From now on, you didn't know it before? All right, you're reading it now? From now on. Then verse 3, the rising of the sun, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Oh, I can praise the Lord all day long. Not just in the morning when I have my devotions, but I'm driving and I can see something comes to mind or heart, I can praise God for it. The Lord is high above all the nations and his glory above the heavens. Oh, I can praise God because he's control of the universe. When everything seems to be out of order and there doesn't seem to be any real leaders in any of the countries of the world, oh, God's above all the nations. Okay? And then, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Well, there isn't any other God. There isn't any other one we can go to. There are things that call themselves God, idols that are made by the hands of men. But, I mean, there's only one God. And you notice there, who is like unto the Lord? You see, Lord is all capital letters. The Lord, our God. The Lord there is referring to Jehovah. It's referring to Jesus. Jesus. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill. And so you just, you know, you read the verse, and then you go through and you look at each verse or a couple verses if they're connected together. Follow your punctuation. If there's not a period at the end, That verse could still be connected with the next one by subject, but definitely if your punctuation doesn't end it, then you follow the punctuation to where it does end, and now that's one whole thought. And you can see what the psalmist is intending when he begins with, "Praise ye the Lord." Now, let me tell you something. You go through the psalms we have. Look at the next one we have. What's the next one we have? 117. 117. This is a good one if you're trying to memorize scripture. You can memorize this one and say, "I memorized a whole psalm." Psalm 117. "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations." Now, it told us, you see, back in Psalm 113, that he is high above all nations. And now here, the psalmist says that all ye nations praise him. Praise him, all ye people. So listen, all these Islamic nations that exist, God expects them to praise him, not Allah, him. Him. And the scripture tells us there to praise him. Now that's something we could pray for with a scriptural foundation and basis to it. You know, you and I may not see it happen, but let me tell you, when Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem, it's going to happen. Okay? And I'll be there then. If I'm not there, I'll be there, and I'll see what's going on down there. And the result of it is he's going to get the attention of all nations. Now, Psalm 135. Verse 1, 135. "Praise ye the Lord." Praise ye what? The name of the Lord. "Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord." Now, I'm not going to take the time to do it now, but if you were to look at Psalm 146, 146 through 150, each of those psalms begin with "Praise ye the Lord." Now, there's Psalm 9 uses a different form of it, okay? It doesn't say "Praise ye the Lord." Well, let's look at what Psalm 9 does say, because it has carries the same meaning, but it's not the exact same words. Psalm 9 begins, "I will praise thee." Okay, doesn't say "Praise ye the Lord." David simply says, "I will praise thee." And so all of these are use the phrase of "Praise ye the Lord," 146 through 150. I'll let you work on that in a similar manner to what we did. So, and that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise him, praise him. All right, now, I need two fellas. How about you two here in front? There's enough for every family to get one. There may be enough for each of the young men, okay, Daniel's brothers, to each have their own. A husband and wife, I expect, can share, but others can each get one. If I need more, I can make more. I just didn't know how. As many pages are here, I didn't want to just run off, so I have, you know, bunches extra. I'm going to explain this as soon as you get it out. The green sheet is separate from the white sheets. That's why it's green. Okay, so I don't have to say sheet number one, and then you're wondering, is it that number one or the other number one? Okay, did everybody that needs one get one? Did all of these single men get one? Okay, all right. Any extras you can lay over on the table, fellas. Now, the green sheet says, "How do you praise him?" And you notice we just looked at Psalm 135, "Praise ye the name of the Lord." And a starting point to praise him is to call his name. And what I've listed for you here are many of the names of the Lord. Elohim, which means God. Elyon, the most high God. Adonai, Lord, and then small letters, Master. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. And then you go down and you see the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Now, look, when you're praising God and you're praising the name of the Lord, you don't have to say, El Elohim, I praise you. El Elyon, I praise you. Okay? You may, but what you're doing is you're praying the most, I praise you, the most high God. You're acknowledging what he revealed himself as in the Bible. You say, well, that's not how I talk. Well, maybe you ought to talk that way when you're talking about God. We get so generic in our description, we can get so limited in what we say. I know what I'm talking about. I'm like you. And so that's why I gave this, why I typed it out. So when you're going to have a time of praising the Lord. Now, there's times when you're requesting from God. That's the purpose of your prayer, to let him know what your need is and to request. There's times when your prayer time is made up of thanksgiving, not just in November, but you're thanking him for so many things. But then there's a third thing, and that is a time when you're praising God. I realize these three times, okay, of requesting, of thanking, and of praising can be mixed together in one-hour session. An hour? I don't have that much time. That's why I say you can break it up. And so there, you can take, when you can have 20 minutes, you just take 20 minutes and you just praise God. You say, what am I going to think of for 20 minutes? You start it. You'll get the idea. I'm serious, because I've said the same thing. How am I gonna praise the Lord? You know, praise your name, praise you for your faithfulness. I praise you for the beauty of the day. I praise you for everything I have. Now, what else do I say? That's why I gave you this sheet. You can praise his name. Listen, it's not unspiritual to take a sheet like this. And you want to have a time of praising God, you can turn to the Psalms that I gave you, okay? And you can find them. You do just what I did, just page through one at a time and take a highlighter and or a colored pencil. Highlighters sometimes bleed through Bible paper. Take a colored pencil and you shade over every time you see the word praise. You say, well, it's going to take a while. You have a while, okay? You're going to live at least another 2 months. And so you just go through the Psalms, and whenever you see the word praise, and you don't have to read each Psalm, you just scan it, okay? And oop, there's praise, highlight it. Oop, there's praise. Now when it comes time, you want to have a time where you praise the Lord. Remember Pastor told us about one of his mentors, that there isn't a thing you can't praise yourself out of? A problem? There isn't anything you can't praise yourself through? Why? Because one of the things that praise does, and this is on the bottom of this sheet now, the halfway point. Why not praise him for who he is rather than for what he has done or what he can give you?
Amen.
You're just praising God for the mightiness of God. And it's very good and important for us to do this. And one of the things, second paragraph there, it is good to get out of ourselves and praise God for who he is. No matter what we're experiencing or what we're going through, good or bad, and the bad is what troubles us, God is worthy to be praised. Now listen, I'm telling you, there are times when I'm sitting in my house and I'm missing my wife. And I look out my office door. And I used to be able to see her sitting in the chair there, and it's empty now. Only by the grace of God that I feel like praising. Really, I'd rather have a pity party. Poor me, I'm all alone. And then God says, don't you remember when the two of you talked about this? Oh, yeah, right. Thanks, God, for reminding me. But when we praise God, it helps us to get through. It isn't automatically going to change it. Sometimes the circumstances we're dealing with just have to work through and work out in a very normal manner. But boy, we can get all twisted up and knotted up inside while that happens. Then we get away from God because we begin to think humanly in the flesh. God is worthy to be praised. He's the creator of the universe, the redeemer, the lamb, the Christ of God, the savior and the king. He's so many things to us. And as such, he is worthy to be praised. Third paragraph, it's good to praise the Lord at any time. Praise him in a meeting with other Christians. Even praise him in your car on the way to work. You've heard me talk about that. I mean, why not? You see people driving down the road, your radio on so loud. I stopped coming home from Blaine at a sheet store in Shamokin Dam. I was gassing up, and this guy came in, let me feel. I could feel the vibration. It was so, I honestly was tempted to say, would you turn that down? But he didn't expect an old man to say that. Fortunately, he got out of his car and went in, so he turned it off. But you see people driving down the road, they're singing, you know. And so, why can't we talk out loud? And, well, I can just say it in my mind. You're going to lose track of it. You say it out loud. There's no reason in a car when you're all alone, you can't say it out loud. And if you're wearing your mask all alone in the car, you may take it off. a little extra there. Don't forget to praise him when you're at home and your situation isn't so promising. And even if the outlook is bleak, you can take time to praise the Lord. In doing so, you'll get out of your situation. Didn't say it's going to change it, but it will take you out of the doldrums, out of the bad case of the blues, okay? Life is a rat race. One of my sayings, life is a rat race and the rats are winning, okay? So praising God will help change that. It keeps from focusing on our problem. It gets us to focus on God. Right. Now that's real spiritual sounding. And I tell you, it works. It works. And you know, you don't have to praise him for an hour for it to work. Just start praising him. Forget about what time it is. You know, when I'm done watching TV, I'll turn it off and I'll have a time of prayer. And sometimes I look up at the clock, wow, a half an hour. I didn't know I could pray that long. I mean, one straight, nothing interrupted. Half hour of praising. And then there's other times I'll look up and I prayed myself out. And it's only 15 minutes. The goal isn't the amount of time.
That's right.
The goal is talking to God. Now, I know you think that. I think about that. And I get myself mixed up. And I need to remind myself, look, you've prayed all that you wanted to pray for. Sometimes it's out of my 3-ring, 6x9, 10-section prayer book, I'll call it. Hey, I got a Baptist, not a prayer book. And but you know, just go ahead and pray. And so focus on God. Last paragraph. Realize that even though your situation is not good, Christ is good and worthy to be praised. Forget your problems and only care to praise the Lord for who he is. I circled that on my page. Forget your preacher, if I could forget them, I would. Why do you think? Do you think I want to think of them? Do you think I want to remember them? I'd love to forget them. Focus on God. When we're focused on the problem, we can't. Now listen, I'm talking to you from experience. Just because I'm a preacher and standing up here, believe me, I can get problem-oriented. Putting this together for you was a great help to me. This will lay next to my prayer chair. Prayer chair, how about that? Right. This will be there. Because I need this. So focus on God, not the problem. We are obsessed with and consumed by our problems. And I understand that. My cars used to be my problem. Oh, my land. Something would go wrong with the car. Now I'm talking 40 years ago. Something would go wrong with the car. And I couldn't think about anything else. I couldn't function until I got that car fixed. I know Pat used to say to me, your cars give you more headaches than I ever did. That is absolutely true. Well, I overcame. I got victory on the car situation. I got a mechanic in the church at McLeod. Big Ed. Did had a man start coming to church, and he had a garage, and he'd take care of my cars. He was good to me. Just like Lenny's good to you, he was good to me. I never paid for anything but the parts. And there were times he provided that. What a blessing. I hope that his profession was real. All I can say is I hope. Okay. Nevertheless, now it's my computer. I got victory over the cars. But now it's the computer. Something goes wrong. Oh, my lands. How am I going to fix it? I try. I'll spend an hour and a half sitting at the computer and nothing's working. I found I'm not Thomas Edison who tried 10,000 times to invent the electric light bulb and failed 10,000 times. And somebody asked him about, hey, aren't you discouraged? And he said, I know 10,000 ways it won't work. Believe me, I don't have that attitude. By the time I've done an hour and a half at the computer and it's not working, I don't figure, oh, well, now I know 55 ways it won't work. I get so mad, I get spit. Oh, that isn't godly. I'm supposed to be a good Christian. So I stop thinking that way, Randy. I remind myself of all that I have. And besides that, I just turn the computer off, pick up my iPad, and do it on that. That's a spiritual overcoming, isn't it? Look, folks, this is a real world we live in. This is a real life that you have. Get yourself off of the cloud that sometimes you think you might be on. And just get into reality. It's right. Living the Christian life in the real world. Now, that's not an excuse for thinking the way we shouldn't. When I get so upset that, I regarding the computer, I get spit. God. Overall, I'm in touch with God. And just like a dog that gets on a chain, he can run around all he wants. It's a 10-foot chain. He can run around all he wants for 9.5 feet, barking and growling and spitting and whatever. But boy, when he gets to 10, it's going to yank him up. And so it won't be long that God will yank up my chain. Hey, you're one of my children. You're not supposed to act like that. Oh, and then he pulls the ace in the hole. Sorry, God. He pulls the ace in the hole. He says, oh, and my wife used to say this too. There's going to be a lot of illustrations about her because she was my life. Some of the illustrations are going to end that are connected with mourning. But I illustrate with what I experienced. And she was 62 years. She was part of that. Anyway, I'd be grumbling and mumbling and whatever. And she'd say, aren't you the fellow that on Sunday you preached? And then she would remind me. Yeah, I'm that guy. What can you do for that? All you can do for that is go and confess it. Make it right. Change your way of thinking. That brings to mind, too, we were having a dispute one day. How do you spell dispute?
F-I-G-H-T.
That's right. None of this, okay, words. I don't know what I said, and I could see the effect. And I said, "You're upset with me, aren't you?" She said, "No." I said, "You're mad at me, aren't you?" "No." "Well, then what are you?" She said, "I'm hurt." Now, if she were upset, I could be upset back.
Right.
If she were mad, I could be mad back.
Yep.
But when she was hurt,
Oh,
you can't be hurt back. All you can do is heal the hurt.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I started the healing right then, which 10 out of 10, I had to admit that what I said or what I did was wrong. I said most of the time.
Yeah, come on.
Because there's other times where I used that, or we'll give it a silent treatment. That didn't make a difference. Well, I'll just sulk a little bit. That didn't change anything. So finally, I just went to her and said, "I'm sorry, you were right." Is it, what does that have to do with praising? Not anything. It's just something that came to mind, and I thought, I wonder if there's any couple here who, when they have a dispute, experience some of what I experienced. Well, if that happens, maybe something I've shared can help you. If I had a friend who used to say, take the wheat and leave the chaff, okay? If it's not wheat to you, don't worry about it. All right, now that's the green sheet. On the back of the green sheet, you'll also see more thanking and praising in daily practice, and it talks about thanking and praising. I put that there for you to read. Now, on the white sheets, we start on the white sheets. There's 8 pages about the attributes of God. Now, the attributes of God are the characteristics of God, and the features of God, the qualities of God. I like, as a synonym for attributes, the characteristics of God. What they mean and why they matter. There are 15 of them. Now, God is infinite. So if you're praising God, again, you can keep this sheet out. You can read a paragraph and then communicate that with God. You're never going to get to that high a level of communicating with God that just everything is from your soul, full and rich heart, and you have become such a spiritual giant that you don't need any help. You aren't going to get there unless you get yourself some help to make it there. I know that. I turn 80 tomorrow. I got saved when I was 15, 65 years, okay? And I didn't achieve it. Now you're waiting for when I did. I didn't achieve it. And so let's get off of our high horse and realize that we might just want to have something like this to sit there. And so you'll read about God is infinite, and he's self-existing without origin. Infinite. These theologians use these fancy terms. Infinite. The next one is immutable. I don't know about you, but I don't remember the last time, other than reading something like this, that I used the word immutable. But I sure have used the word, he never changes.
Yeah,
that's what immutable is, okay? And the same way with these infinite. Now, there's times where I've spoken about God being infinite, but what it means is he's self-existing. You and I are not self-existing. There came a time when you started existing. You were not self-starting to exist, but Mama, she's the one who gave you existence. That's the same for every one of us. And so this pulpit is not self-existing. There was a carpenter who made it from materials he had. God is self-existing. He just is. Always has been. Now, you and I can't really grasp that because God is God and we're not God. But you can read about this wonderful God and who he is. Now, I must call attention, and I'll end with this, I hope. The last paragraph in number one on the infinite God. An article I quoted here from Dr. Adrian Rogers. He's dead and in heaven. I think in 05 he died. And he writes, the name Jehovah is used some 6,800 times in the Bible. It is the personal covenant name of Israel's God. In the King James Version of the Bible, it's translated Lord. Now, he has small L-O-R-D. I personally wrote capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in the column, okay? Not only does he speak of God's strength, but also it speaks of the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God. And you read that and think. We need to think about what we're reading. Now we're thinking about God. God, I praise you for indeed your strength and for your sovereignty and for your goodness. I praise your name. Listen, do you read through three paragraphs and pray through each of the sentences? You're going to have a very satisfying time of praising God. The root of his name means self-existing, one who never came into being and one who always will be. When Moses asked God, who shall I tell Pharaoh sent me? God said, I am that I am. Now, I didn't give you the source of all of this material because I had to edit it. I had to rewrite so much of it. I had to type in the King James Version because of the other versions that polluted this whole article on 15 attributes. So I didn't bother telling you where it came from. Where it came from, the guy would not remember it. He would just know, oh, I did 15 one time. This guy did it too, you know. And so, but I missed something. You see what it says? God said, I am that I am. Jehovah, Adrian Rogers says, Jehovah or Yahweh is the most intensely sacred name to the Jews. Now, you see the red line scratched through Yahweh?
Right.
That's because when I went back through and edited, I missed it. If I had not missed it, it would have been deleted.
Amen.
And it wouldn't be there. All of the same emphasis is there. So my apology to you in that I missed it. Last night when I went over, I mean like it was 10:30 when I went over, there was just no time. Because I would have had to unstaple all of the ones I did. I would have had to do both sides. No, it's only one side in the pair. I only would have had to do one. You know, that might have been possible.
The red line
work. Yeah, well, I thought so. Plus, I'm intending for you to know why there's no credits given anywhere. Like I say, I had to change so much stuff. So, depending on where you read or what you read. Sure, we only want to read absolutely reliable material. Let me tell you something. There just aren't a lot of writers and publishers of absolutely dependable material. I'm not saying they aren't there, but there's just not a lot of them. And so you're going to have to do, just like I did, you're going to have to replace the translations with the King James. When you see something like that, you're going to have to redline or just block it out, or I don't know what you're going to do with it, but we don't want it there. Now, Adrian Rogers, like I said, he died 18 years ago in 2005. I don't know if in his circle there was very much teaching given regarding the false term Yahweh. Now, if he had heard and learned and ignored it, I would be disappointed in that.
Right.
But very possible he didn't hear a lot. Not enough. Just a couple crackpots here or there. And that's the problem with being a crackpot. Really, I mean, you might have some valid information, but if you make a jerk out of yourself all the time, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
They're rejecting you, not necessarily the message.
That's right.
Boy, this thing went in 101 different directions. So now you can take the other 14 and read them and evaluate them. Oh, please, if you find something else, do tell me. I'm serious. You come and tell me so that I can correct, you know, what I save in my computer. And so if you do see something, please, please tell me. That way if I go someplace and decide to give this out, I won't look like one of those crackpots. This was enjoyable.
Amen.
I like this. I hope it was practical. Okay, that was my intention. Not just to save a lot of fancy sounding theological terms, but there's a lot of stuff you can't really learn without being introduced to some of that stuff. Father in heaven, you are so good to us, and I thank you for that goodness. Pray your blessing on this day, and thank you for the opportunity to share this information. Thank you, Father, for the help that I have received producing it. And I anticipate, Father, your continued help as I sit with this paper and go through in the manner that I've presented to the folks today. And this I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're not going to have a closing song. Can you believe that? We're just going to end as kid keeps coming and stealing this phone.